各位贵宾，大家非常非常期待啊，在我们今天呢年度盛会当中第一场的精彩大会主题演讲，我们特别邀请到的是微软 Microsoft Corporation Group Program Manager Tristan Davis， 将会为我们带来 Office 365 as a platform。So, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a round of applause to welcome Mr. Tristan Davis. 请掌声欢迎。
All right. So, good morning, everybody. My name is Tristan Davis, and I'm a program manager on the Office platform team here at Microsoft. And what I want to do for the next 45 minutes is kind of talk a little bit about Office 365 as a platform, introduce you to the things you can do using Office 365, all the most recent announcements, and hopefully get you excited to build really powerful productivity apps that take advantage of all the capabilities we expose at the platform layer. So let's start by talking about Office 365. When folks think about Office 365, they often think of the core applications, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. But really, we think of Office 365 as the totality of a bunch of really important workloads to help folks get things done. And that includes the set of authoring apps that we have, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, but it also includes a bunch of other really critical productivity experiences like email and social, whether that's email and Outlook or the enterprise social capabilities offered by Yammer. It's sites and content with things like OneDrive and SharePoint for storing files and letting groups work together, including Delve, which, as we'll see in a minute, creates a bunch of really intelligent insights around the things folks are doing and serves that up to users in a really friendly way. It's chat, meetings, and voice. We're really excited about Microsoft Teams. I hope everyone has seen a little bit about Microsoft Teams. If not, you'll see a bunch of the platform stuff in the next few minutes, and we'll talk a little bit about Teams. And then a ton of analytics capability, right? So we have Power BI, which really helps you get powerful analytics out of your data really simply. And we have things like My Analytics, which is this really incredible tool that can analyze the communications you're having with other people and tell you insights about, hey, this email, folks aren't reading it, it's too long, or hey, everybody's really interested in this particular mail. Things that help you be more effective as a communicator at your job. And all of those experiences are backed by a bunch of really core fundamental pieces of the platform. The first one is Office 365 Groups, that idea of one central group entity upon which, files and email and calendar are hung. So, if I want to create a group to plan for dev days, that will let me put all the email about dev days in one place, all the files about dev days in one place so that we can collaborate effectively as a team. Microsoft Graph, which is the underlying infrastructure that lets me connect, all the people, activities, and devices in the Microsoft Cloud together to create really powerful solutions and applications. And then, of course, we're really focused on security and compliance. Whatever data you give us, whatever information is stored in Office 365, we take a ton of energy in making sure that that data is both secure and stored in a way that's compliant, so you can be really comfortable giving us all that information and letting us store it up in the cloud. First thing I like to start with, because I think it really helps ground why we're so passionate about this and why we want you as developers to take advantage of the platform, is the size of the opportunity. Like, some really, I think, interesting big numbers here. You can see that 90% of the Fortune 500 take advantage of the Microsoft Cloud. We have a 300% growth in the usage of Outlook add-ins. You heard Satya at Build potentially a couple weeks ago talk about how we now have over 100 million commercial customers that are using Office 365. So there's just a ton of users available to take advantage of the applications that you build. There's also a ton of data, right? 4 trillion emails, 2 billion meetings created a month. Just an incredible wealth of information for you to mine, for you to add intelligence on top of, and really help users make sense of all the information that makes up their lives. And then you can see that, on the intelligence side, we have 8 trillion nodes in the Microsoft Graph today. We've already done a lot to sort of bring that information, bring those signals, bring that data together into a single knowledge graph and let you mine it with a really powerful set of RESTful APIs. So let's talk a little bit about what it means to Office 365 as a platform. Like, what does that actually make up? What are the things you can go and do today? The keystone of the Office 365 platform is Microsoft Graph. You've probably heard Satya talk about it. You've heard a lot about Microsoft Graph if you've listened to us talk over the last year or so about Microsoft and our platform. Like I said earlier, the Graph really is bringing together sort of people, activities, and devices that make up your world into a single interconnected graph and then offering you as developers a super simple set of RESTful APIs to access that data and intelligence and build really powerful productivity apps. You know, the graph contains things like the graph of all the people in my organization. You know, who works for who, who's whose manager, what folks are working together. What's all the content those people created? You know, whether they're creating files, whether they're having email conversations, whether they're creating meeting invites. What are all the communications? Are they having chats? Are they in groups together? We have all those links between those people. And then a ton of insights. You know, we know things like, what documents are important to this person based on the people they care about? Like, people who work with Tristan edit these five documents. Well, those five documents are probably pretty important for Tristan. Or what are the most important people in Tristan's life? Well, I can look at who he has email with, who he has meetings with, who he chats with in Teams, and bring all those signals together to tell him, hey, these are the most relevant people in your organization in terms of the work that you do. And then, you know, the Microsoft Graph sits down here and it creates this really powerful data API for accessing that data and intelligence. And on top of it, two things get built, right? The first one is you can go and build your own standalone web applications, your own standalone mobile applications that directly connect to the graph. So I can go and create a website that, for example, brings in Outlook meetings and does interesting analysis on, you know, what artifacts get created for the meetings, what agendas should be created for the meetings, et cetera. As well, we ourselves as Office go and create our own first-party experiences on top of Microsoft Graph. Whether that's Word, Excel, PowerPoint, or Outlook, or Delve, we take advantage of the very same graph, the very same APIs you as developers are using to build our own experiences. And really, those experiences, I call them canvases here, not applications, because what I want to land is that, you know, there's a set of canvases we have for document authoring, and that might be the document surface in Word, it might be the slide surface in PowerPoint, but it's really not about the application. For example, the next canvas that's really important to us is what I call the conversation canvas. Yes, Outlook is clearly a really critically important conversation canvas, so is Teams. But even, for example, the comment pane in Word might be a conversation canvas, because what I'm doing in that comment pane, I'm not authoring a document, I'm having a conversation about content, right? I'm asking questions, I'm getting answers from other people. That canvas is really about the discussion about the content and not about the content itself. And the third one is the page canvas. And for example, SharePoint. I want to go and create a portal that makes sure my employees can log in and see what's important in my enterprise, have a place that feels branded, like feels like the starting place. That's clearly not a document, it's not a conversation, it's really about the page itself as the canvas that you as a developer can go and play with and customize. And then we also let you embed our canvases in your own standalone apps. For example, you may have seen a build last year, we announced that you can take Skype, we now have a Skype SDK that lets you embed all the audio and visual capabilities of Skype into your own standalone apps. I don't have to worry about how do I do voice, how do I do video, I can just embed Skype and I'm off to the races. And then within our canvases, there's really two things you can do. The first one is extensions, and it's this idea that you can go and add features to our apps that we don't already have. You know, for example, you might add an action, which is a button on the ribbon, or potentially a new button in OWA. You might go and show a task pane or a dialog box. You might capture an event and run some code. But you're really creating these common extensions that theoretically could run across any of the canvases I'm describing up here, sort of consistently. Second thing you can do is, on each canvas, we create specific extension points that really let you extend the contents of that canvas. So, you know, on a conversation canvas, maybe I want a bot so that as the user is talking in Teams, he can either talk to his coworkers or he can have a discussion with a bot that has access to relevant information and makes his job easier. On the page canvas, maybe I want to customize the branding on my SharePoint site. Maybe I want to add custom navigation. These are all really custom extension points that are based not on the application, but on the canvas we want you as developers to be able to customize. And then you can take all of that, and we really think a lot about, hey, it shouldn't be that to customize those canvases, there's a one-size-fits-all solution. I want you to be able to start as simply as you want or as complex as you want and find the right level of customization you want on that canvas. For example, some kinds of canvas extensions, they might just be creating a JSON payload that says, hey, I want to show this text string and these actions and Outlook or Teams, you lay that out in the way that looks the best in the application. It might be, hey, I want to write some HTML and JavaScript. But I want to use built-in controls that you, Microsoft, have built so that my app, my page extension really feels like a native part of that page canvas. Or it might be that, hey, I just want to write my own HTML and JavaScript. Just give me a rectangle, give me some space on the canvas, and let me put my own experience there. I'll handle all the rendering, I'll handle all the logic. I just want you to give me access to a place on that canvas to render my own experience. So that's kind of the platform at a very high level. And what I want to do for the next half an hour is a bunch of demos to show you what each of those things means, what you can go and do with it today, and some of the recent announcements we have around us continuing to improve that platform and make it more powerful for you as developers. So let's start with Graph. First place I'd like to start with Graph, and I'll just click through the build, is say, hey, data and intelligence, what does that mean? What can I actually do? And the three kinds of categories we really see emerging are rich context. I can know things like, hey, is this person out of the office? You know, if I have a workflow that says, hey, I'm going to send this email and I need Michael to approve it, wouldn't it be great if my application knows, oh, Michael's out of the office right now, so you should actually reroute to Michael's manager, which requires you to know who is his manager. Where does this person need to be next? I know his calendar, his or her calendar, and I can say, what's the next thing that person needs to do in their day? What documents have they been working on recently? I have a ton of context about all the things they're doing at work. I also have access to a ton of deep insights. What documents are potentially most interesting for this person? Given a set of five people, what's the best possible times for them to meet? Who's the expert on a given topic, right? The graph will even let you tell, hey, based on the topic Microsoft Graph, what people in my company are most likely to have knowledge and information about that that can help me do my job. The last one is real-time updates. You know, for all of the core entities in Graph, we offer webhooks. We let you sort of observe the state and get informed when things change. That lets you do things like, hey, reschedule a meeting when a conflict appears, because I can tell, hey, this meeting changed. Ooh, the new spot of this meeting conflicts with another meeting. Let's do something. Notify an owner when a file changes. Continue a process immediately after an email is received. I can sort of observe key entities in that Microsoft data ecosystem and do things as soon as that information changes. So, let's jump into a couple demos. This is my favorite part. And the first thing I want to show you is this tool to really start exploring what's in the graph called Graph Explorer. So if you go to graph.microsoft.com and you click up here on the top on Graph Explorer, you'll get to this really visual, I think really powerful tool for exploring all the contents of the graph. So you can see I've already signed in as me up here in the top left corner, and now I can run some really simple queries. You know, up here you'll see what the URL of those REST queries is, but on the left here, let's click and just play with some basic queries. I can say, who am I? And it runs, you know, /v10/me and tells me, here's my name, here's my job title, here's my email and phone number, et cetera. I can say, what's my picture? Again, it's calling me /photo/$value, and there's my picture. Again, data that we're pulling out of that people graph and delivering to you through a simple API. What I think is really cool is right here in Graph Explorer, I can actually pick what parts of the graph do I want to explore. So, you know, you'll see a little bit more of this later this morning, but I can choose, ooh, I'm really interested in seeing what things I can do with OneDrive or what things I can do with groups. And over here on the left, we'll give you a set of starter queries that show you the kinds of things you can do and lets you explore the graph visually and sort of learn the syntax up here, that REST API syntax, to let you then go and build your own custom queries, your own custom applications. Let's play with one of those. So one of the things that just showed up in Microsoft Graph in beta is Microsoft Teams. So now I can go in here and say, hey, let's go to beta, me, and you'll see that under, if I start typing J-O-I, we'll do some autocomplete and tell me, ooh, we can tell you what teams you've joined. So we'll run that query, and back comes a nice simple JSON payload that says I'm part of the demo prep team. Makes sense. I was prepping for today. I can now jump in, so I'll grab the ID for that group. And what you'll see is that every team is actually backed by an Office 365 group. So if I go here and I say groups, I paste in the ID for that group. There's all the context about that group, but let's go further. Let's look at what channels are in the Microsoft team for that group. You'll see that, hey, there are two channels, the April Sprint Demos channel and the General channel. And indeed, if we go over to Teams, there are those two channels, the general and the April Sprint Domos channel. Really cool. I can access all of the channels inside of all of my teams, but let's go and actually play with the contents. So let's change this to a post. Let's go and add a channel. I'm going to crib a little bit here. So I'm going to go and grab some pre-built queries that I did this morning. So for example, I can say, hey, I want to post and create a new channel called Build 2017. Maybe let's change that to Dev Days 2017, just to show you that. And I'll go and run that query. And you'll see that it will return success momentarily. There's the success, so it's created a new channel with this ID. And indeed, if I jump back over to Teams, one more channel, that channel's been created in real time. So me as a developer can go and work with the contents of the team. I can then go and do things like, hey, let's take the ID for that channel. Just like I did for groups, I'm going to go like that. In this case, I'm actually going to go and say, hey, let's go and create a new thread inside that group. Let's go create a new message. And if I jump over here, I'm going to go and grab the contents of a super simple JSON payload to go and create a new thread. Let's change some content to like, hello, everyone. Run that query, and you'll see, again, through let's go back and look. Did I mess this up? Let's go get the channels again. Let's go grab the Dev Days channel. You can see in real time, there's nothing fake here. We'll do some real time debugging. Go and grab that channel. Great, now we're in that channel. Let's go grab chat threads. We'll post to it again. I'm going to go and say root message, hello everyone. We'll run that again. And this time, great, success. And if we go back here, indeed what we will see is hello everyone got posted inside of that channel. Super cool. And like I mentioned earlier, every channel is backed by a real Office 365 group. So I can go all the way back here and I can say, you know, at the groups layer, I want to go into the groups. I want to go into the drive that represents that group. Let's go add a file into that group. So we'll say, hey, inside the Dev Days 2017 channel, let's create a file called hello.txt. And let's go set its content. This time I'm going to do a put since I'm creating a new file. I'm going to say hello world. And what you'll see is I can go and run that query. What it's going to do is put a new file up into OneDrive with that content and return me the URL for that content, a bunch of information about who created it. And indeed, if I go back to Teams, I can see in the Files tab here, give it a second to come through, that that file will have been created and I'll be able to access it from here. So there it is. Hello.txt was created, and if I click it, we'll see that it says, just like I created a file that has Hello World. So again, hopefully you can see a really super simple API for letting you access all of the contents of all of the applications and data up there in the Microsoft Cloud. So let's jump on really quick. The next demo I want to show you is how to connect the graph with bots. So I've got up here a link that we'll go to in a second. There's a set of patterns we see with graph, right? Whether it's smart pickers, so I want to create a really smart file picker that knows what files the users use most recently. I want to connect to devices, Internet of Things, and bring all the signals and data from those things back into my productivity graph. Whether it's creating graph-powered bots or really automating important business processes, the graph lets you do all of these things, and we really see key patterns around each one of these things. The one I want to spend a couple seconds on is bots. So this link, and you don't have to grab it now, we'll have it in sessions later in the day, is a great starter project to create a bot that connects to Microsoft Graph and lets you query all the contents of Graph inside of your own applications. Specifically, I've already created a bot called ExcelBot. ExcelBot, as you might guess, connects to the APIs in Microsoft Graph that underlie the power of the calculation engine that is Excel. So I can go and say hi. I can go and say open my sales, and the bot is going to go and use the OneDrive API to find a file called my sales and let me work with it. So you can see he's working. Great, he found that file. Cool, and I can say, what is my total sales? And he'll go, and using the graph, he can go and say, in this workbook, what is total sales? And return that data. I can say, what is May sales? I bet I haven't had any May sales yet. So let's go and look at that. 250, great. I can say, change May sales to 500. And what I'm actually doing behind the scenes is editing the contents of a real Excel workbook. So I'm able to work with Excel, not by opening a spreadsheet and looking through tables and charts, but just by using a really familiar chat-based interface. And then I can say, great, I've changed that. What is the sales chart? And again, the bot's going to go back. It's going to use Excel's calculation engine to find the sales chart and present it to me as a picture. And you can see, and if I dig in here, here's my sales by month, and there's that 500 we just entered, and all of that shows up in a really familiar bot environment, because I, as a developer, just wrote a few simple REST queries against the Excel APIs in Microsoft Graph. So hopefully, it gives you a little taste of the kinds of things you can do in sort of a bot-based interface. And the end user of this bot, so me as the person typing, all I had to do was create a spreadsheet, right? I didn't have to think about writing a bot or the complexities of that interface. The bot, it just figured out, okay, what's the contents of the spreadsheet and what's the right way to show them to the user? Really cool stuff. Ton of announcements around Microsoft Graph. You'll hear some of them later this morning with Mark. You'll hear some of them throughout the week. But what you'll see is we're just onboarding a ton of Microsoft services and data APIs into Microsoft Graph. So just a ton of new stuff in our V1, an even greater list of stuff in our preview. And as well as new data, we're adding a ton of new capabilities, whether that's the support for Delta queries, so I can see what's changed in the graph between two points in time, whether that's webhook support for Outlook, so that not only working on behalf of a user, but just working as an application, whether that's webhooks for users and groups, just a ton of new awesome capabilities to let you build those really powerful apps I talked about. And that's Graph. So let's switch gears really quick. Let's talk about the canvases. And there's really three key points I want to land on the canvases. And you heard them sort of earlier this morning as well. The first one is cross-platform, cross-device. Those canvases, they're not extensible just on Windows. Everywhere Office is, whether that's my Windows PC, whether that's my Mac, whether that's up in the browser, I want you to be able to write a solution once and extend those canvases everywhere the user uses Office. I want to make sure you can do that using web technologies. If you're a web dev and you can write HTML and JavaScript, you can extend our canvases today. The third one is I want to make sure that once you've written them, it's really easy to distribute them. Users should be able to go to a store and grab those canvas extensions and make use of them right away without having to install software and manage patches and all the sort of stressful things that happen around software distribution today. That should all be really baked into the cloud. So we'll talk first about the document canvas. And I want to show something called Script Lab. It's one of my favorite things. We want to switch to number two really quick. So Script Lab, similar to what you saw with Graph Explorer, is this really cool experience for getting started with add-ins using an add-in itself. So I'm going to log in right here. I'm going to boot up Excel. And if you go to the Office Store, or you can hit the Store button inside of Excel today in Office 365 and search for Script Lab, you'll find this really neat add-in that creates its own custom tab that lets you try out our JavaScript and our HTML and build your own add-ins without having to go create your own project, doing it right there inside of Excel. So here's the code for an add-in I created earlier. And this add-in lets me work with the conditional formatting APIs inside of Excel. So you can see up at the beginning, it creates some buttons. But then the really interesting part of this is it's just, if you're familiar with JavaScript and you're familiar with Excel, it's a really simple JavaScript syntax for changing the contents of that Excel workbook. So you can see here that I'm saying workbook.worksheets.getItem. So I'm getting a worksheet called sample. I'm grabbing a range. I'm creating a new conditional format. I'm setting properties on that conditional format down here. Like, the minimum should be blue, and the maximum should be red, and the midpoint should be yellow. So if I'm familiar with the basics of JavaScript and the basics of Excel, I can go and use that toolkit to build really powerful add-ins, really powerful extensions for the Excel canvas. And using ScriptLab, I can do that all right inside of Excel. And when I want to try it out, I just hit run right here. And it will take all that JavaScript, it will compile it all together, and turn it into a running add-in that I can play with right here inside of the app. So we'll hide the debugging pane. I can go, you know, add some sample data. I didn't show you the code for that, but it's incredibly simple. I can say, hey, what conditional formats are there? It'll query that conditional formats collection and tell me nothing there yet. I can say, great, let's go create one. It'll run that function we just saw, find that range, set a midpoint as low as blue, high as red, middle as yellow, conditional format, and apply it immediately. So you can see how really quickly I can start to not just understand what the APIs are, but play with them, build some experiences, go and really understand how to do stuff without leaving the application, without having to go get an IDE and worry about all that sort of stuff. And you'll see up here, I have this business bar. ScriptLab isn't just about JavaScript, which is cool. It also lets you play with things like, what's the HTML that I want? So the add-in, that four buttons we just saw, that was also defined in ScriptLab. And when I wanted to go and create that business bar, it was as simple as, hey, here's a message banner that I want to create. Right, a couple of divs. And how did I do that? I used what our UI library called Fabric.js. And Fabric.js, and there's a great link here, and you can find it on our office, dev.office.com dev portal, lets you access a huge library of built-in UI constructs to go and build your own custom add-ins. So if I jump over here, you can see that, you know, breadcrumbs, buttons, callouts, checkboxes, we've built basically all the UI fundamentals you might need when you build a Canvas extension and given you incredibly simple HTML, CSS, and JavaScript to make use of them inside of your own solutions. We'll even take you step by step through how to do that for every single one of those components, making it really easy for you to get started, build those Canvas extensions, and build really powerful capabilities into all of those canvases I talked about earlier. The last thing I want to show, and we'll jump back to number three, is single sign-on. So every add-in in the world probably wants to do one thing, if I've had a lot of conversations about add-ins, and that is work on behalf of the current user and take my user context and use that to sign me into the back-end service to let me call Microsoft Graph to really help me get started going. So if we jump back to one, or sorry, three, perfect. We're back in Word here. I'm going to go grab a sample add-in that I wrote earlier. And what you'll see is if I click on that add-in, it will immediately load. What it's going to do in the background is say, hey, I want to sign in whatever user signed into Office into my add-in. So, you know, Tristan signed in up here. Tristan's immediately signed in down here. I can go and get a token that lets me sign into my back-end service without having to pop UI, without having to ask the user to enter a login and password. I'm able to say to Office, hey, can you give me the identity token you have? And immediately grab that and use it myself as well. Even cooler, you can see that I'm already logged in, which I think is pretty cool. I can then turn around and get a token that lets me call Microsoft Graph. So every one of those Canvas extensions is now calling into that, you know, activities, users, and devices data up in the Microsoft Graph without having to do prompts, without having to worry about how to manage that identity. So you can see the very same picture and information we saw in that Graph Explorer demo earlier is immediately exposed inside of an add-in as well. Really cool stuff. And if I look at the code behind that, I'll jump into VS Code, what you'll see is it's like six lines of code. So that get access token, it's as simple as calling context.auth.getAccessTokenAsync. Office then returns an identity token, and I'm off to the races. I don't have to stress about prompting users and managing dialogues and all that fun stuff. Just eight lines of code, and I've got the user signed in and ready to go. Ton of announcements around the document canvas. We continue to build more and more JavaScript APIs every week. We're going to build that single sign-on, which we now have in dev preview, and we'll ship later this summer. Conversation canvases. Again, I'm just going to jump right into demos. So we'll jump back to number two. I want to show a couple, two things here. First one is this idea of actionable messages. So I've already set up a connector between this demo group here in Teams and a tool that I'm using to manage tasks called Rike. So I'll go into Rike here and create a new task that says, like, give demos. And what you'll see is, because I set up that connector, if I jump back over to Teams, immediately Rike sent a webhook over to Teams and said, hey, can you let the people in this team know about this new task? Pretty cool that I can now bring all that information from the rest of my world into Teams, but even cooler, that isn't just static data. If I hit see more here, you'll see there's a bunch of actions I can take without leaving Teams. So imagine hooking this up to your bug database, hooking this up to Stack Overflow, hooking this up to any of the other tools you use in the world. I can do stuff and say, hey, I want to add a comment that says, going great, I hope, and hit save. And without leaving Teams, I've now gone and edited that task inside of that third-party tool without having to jump out, log into a separate application, find that stuff. And indeed, if we go back to Rike, you'll see right here that comment is added. And it's not just supported inside of Teams. What I think is one of the coolest things of all these things is these same connectors that work in Teams, if you write them as developers, users can connect them in Teams. They can also connect them inside of Outlook. So you'll see that same connector didn't just add a message to my team, it added a message to an Outlook group that I've created as well. It says give demos, and if I click there, that same set of actions that we saw in Teams works equally well right here inside of Outlook. So you don't have to worry about building an integration for Teams and an integration for Outlook. You build one really great actionable message integration, and we'll make sure it's exposed to all the Office 365 users in all of our conversation canvases that can take advantage of it. So just like I gotta add a comment here, and I could go and change the status to in progress, and save, and just like we did in Teams, I don't have to leave whatever conversation tool I want to use to update all that data in those third-party services. And indeed, if I jump back here, you'll see that task is now marked in progress. So really cool stuff. The other thing that Teams does, and this one I get really excited about in my day-to-day life, is this idea of actionable messages. There's a sort of pretty common conversation thing that you do, right? Of, let's say I need to email Michael about a bug. I go into our Teams client, I say, hey, Michael, what's up with this bug? Then I alt-tab over to our Visual Studio, and I find the bug, and I copy the URL, and I paste it back, and he gets the message, and he's like, what bug is that? And he has to click the link and figure out what's going on. We can short-circuit all of that and create an integration where, right here, I can start searching Visual Studio. So I'm like, ooh, I want to email Michael about this bug about a slow form. You can see that a super simple integration lets me not have to go out, find that link in that separate app, but here is me searching our bug database. I can click right here. It'll insert a card that represents that bug, and I can say, what's up with this? And when Michael gets that message inside of our shared team, he can immediately see what bug I'm talking about, its current state, and all the actions he can take on it without having to shell out to a separate application to go and do all of those things. So hopefully you can see between those two things, really the power of integrations into those conversation canvases. I'm bringing all the rest of the user's data from all the other services they care about into one place, so that without having to switch apps, without having to switch environments, he or she can take action on all the things that matter to them. Really cool stuff. We'll jump back to three again. And we'll talk about, hey, one of the most exciting things we announced at Build was that, you know, those actionable messages I just showed are available in Outlook, that Teams developer platform is now available for you to go and play with. And in fact, not only is it there, but you can go and submit your own Teams integrations into the Office Store today. So if I go as a developer and build something awesome and I want to share it with the world, I can go and submit that thing to the Office Store and expose it to all of the users of Office 365 to acquire and use in one place. Also, a ton of stuff in preview. You can see that not only did the things I show in Teams, but you can now extend the activity feed in Teams. You can go and build bots and a bots channel that connects to Skype for Business, so all of your bots are exposed in Skype for Business if you're using our bot framework, just like they're exposed today in things like Skype and Facebook Messenger, et cetera. Page Canvas. So really, hopefully, you may have seen that we had a virtual event for SharePoint last week. That team did a really awesome job of talking about all the stuff going on inside of SharePoint. So in the interest of time, I'm not going to spend a ton of time there, but that page canvas is super important. SharePoint really is probably one of the most important workloads we have in Office 365. And you can again see some really interesting data that shows you why that's true. You know, 80% growth in active users in SharePoint Online, 60% of new SharePoint seats are living up in the cloud, a ton of really important large customers, people like Hershey's and Goodyear and NASCAR and Kraft, are migrating to the cloud to use SharePoint Online. So all those page canvas extensions you build are all available to a huge swath of important business customers who can take advantage of them. Like I said, I'm not going to spend a bunch of time demoing SharePoint because the team did an incredible job in their virtual event, but I'm happy afterwards or later in the week to talk about all the cool things you can do with the modern SharePoint framework. Page canvas announcements. SharePoint framework already has this idea of web parts, so that's that extension on that page canvas that we talked about earlier. Ton of work around Office UI Fabric, which is that visual UI language we talked about earlier. And then they're really excited about SharePoint framework extensions. Think about the ability to brand a SharePoint page. Think about the ability to add that custom navigation. Really anything you want to do on that page canvas, the SharePoint framework lets you do it, as well as support for file handlers. So if I had my own custom file extension that I wanted to have a custom view or edit experience around, I can now plug that data into the page canvas and say, hey, every time a .xyz file shows up in a OneDrive library, here's the URL to open that lets you edit it. Here's the URL to open that lets you view it, et cetera. A bunch of really cool enhancements in our page canvas as well. Last thing I want to talk about, and I think it's one of the most important things, but you know, sometimes as developers, the last thing you think about is, ooh, I built something really cool. I built a conversation canvas extension that I think is just phenomenal. How do I get it to people? Like, how do users find it? How do they acquire it? How do they keep it up to date? How do I make sure I get as many users as I deserve to get, given all my hard work? There's two big demos that I want to show to kind of illustrate what we think is a really modernized framework for doing that today. The first one is this idea of centralized deployment. So has anyone here tried to deploy a COM or VSTO add-in to Office in the past? Is that familiar to anybody? So if you've played with that before, what you've probably seen is you have to use things like System Center, you're deploying an MSI to thousands of desktops. Anytime you're trying to deploy software one by one to a bunch of clients, you're going to run into errors. And what we've done with all the centralized deployment work, as the name implies, is said, hey, when you're deploying something, you should really deploy it once. You should deploy it into the cloud, and the cloud should automatically make that extension available to all of the right users who need to use it. So we do that two ways. First way is through tools like PowerShell. So I'm going to go and open this PowerShell commandlet I wrote. And you can see that, hey, if I want to deploy an add-in inside of my enterprise, it's as simple as two lines of PowerShell. The first one is, let's connect to the add-in service for my enterprise. The second one is, let's deploy an add-in to a specific set of users. In this case, I'm going to deploy it to one user, Tristan D at popstand.onmicrosoft.com. And if I go and I run this code, it's going to ask me to log in. And that what it's going to do is find that add-in that I wrote, whether it's an add-in from the store, and here I'm referencing an add-in from the store, or an add-in that I have a local XML manifest for, upload it to the cloud, assign it to the users I asked it to assign to, and then we're done. I don't have to worry about what PCs is Tristan using. Is he using Macs? Is he using iPads? Is he using Windows PCs? Is he accessing through the browser? All of this is automatically handled, and the next time he signs into Office, just like that add-in knew who Tristan was, Office will know who Tristan is, and show all the right add-ins in all the right places on the ribbon to let him get work done. So while that's uploading, we'll jump over to one here, and you'll see that just like we can do that through PowerShell, we can do it through the UI as well. So I'm logged into my Mac. In this case, I still have Office. It's still the same Office, so I expect the same extensions, the same experiences. But we'll go one further, and I expect the same management capabilities. So in this case, I'll use the UI. I'll log in to the Office 365 Admin Center, and the same thing I did through PowerShell, let's go and do that through the UI. Here's the add-in page. I can go and say, ooh, I want to add a new add-in. And I can choose, again, add-ins from the store or add-ins I've written myself. I'll go grab an add-in from the store. We'll go grab maybe, let's grab the Adobe Stock add-in. And you can see that as an administrator, I'm accessing the same wealth of add-ins in the same store that users can grab. And now I can say, hey, cool, here's the Adobe Stock add-in. Let's assign it. In this case, let's assign it to everybody. Or maybe let's assign it to all the users in the sales team Outlook group. And now what that means is, for a user to get that Adobe Stock add-in, I don't need to ask them to deploy an MSI. I don't need to run code on their machine. I just need to tell them, hey, go and join the sales team Outlook group. And as soon as you do, the next time you boot Office, you'll get that Adobe Stock add-in in all the right places and all the right applications to make use of it. So this will save up in the background. We'll give it a second. And what you'll see as I jump into Office is, as soon as I log in, those add-ins will just show up in the right places in the ribbon. And you can see here now that that one I uploaded via PowerShell, that's already shown up. And if I refresh really quick, we'll see the one I just added will show up as well. That Adobe Stock add-in should show up at the top, and there it is. And indeed, if I boot PowerPoint, we'll see that what will happen is PowerPoint will start. One of the things it will do in the background is it will say, hey, Office 365 Cloud, are there add-ins for Tristan D? Grab all those add-ins and make them show up in the right places in the ribbon. So if I jump in here, we might just refresh it for time. What you'll see is about 10 seconds in, that cloud call will happen. We'll go find all of those add-ins that I need and put them into the ribbon in all the right places to help the user get their work done. And you can see in the background here, it's loading add-ins. There's the Picket one. If we jump over here, here's the Adobe Stock one. So it didn't have to do anything, right? I didn't, as a user, have to go to a store, worry about installing software. And yet, all the add-ins I need aren't just on my Windows PC. They're also available on my Mac, in PowerPoint in the browser, and PowerPoint for iPad as well. Really cool stuff. The last thing I'll show, jumping back to number three, is, so what about you as developers? How do you help users find those add-ins? I'm really excited about this thing called Microsoft AppSource, which is one marketplace for you to go and put all your extensions so that users can find them, download them, try them out. You can help sell them on the value and make sure you convert interested users into active users of your applications. So here from AppSource, what you'll see is maybe let's filter on Office 365 since that's what we're talking about. All those great Office 365 solutions that partners have built are exposed, and I as a user can say, ooh, Boomerang, I can try it now. And as a part of trying it, what's going to happen is the Boomerang developers aren't just going to install that add-in on my machine. They're actually going to get a lead written into their CRM system that says, hey, this guy, this Tristan D at Popstand, tried out your add-in. You should go engage with him. You should sell him on the value of your add-in. You should help turn him from a prospective customer into an actual customer. We really do that lead generation for you as developers to help you not just build cool stuff, but make money, generate active users and fans, and really be successful as a software developer. And you can see a couple examples here of what that looks like in practice. If we jump down, you know, here's an actual partner, which is why it's all blurred out, a partner Salesforce database, and we're writing leads for every user who tries their solution in AppSource into their backend CRM that lets them go and see, hey, here's their email, here's where they are, here's what country they're in, and they came from AppSource. Contact them, do whatever you want, turn them from a prospective user into an actual user. Bunch of announcements here around that discovery. We already talked about Teams apps in the store. We'll talk about this stuff later in the week, really cool stuff. Last thing, and then I'll jump off stage. My team, the Office developer team in general, we live to help you guys be successful building on the platform. So we've got a ton of places you can come to engage with us, to ask us questions, to see what we're up to help us really build a platform that you find valuable and interesting and powerful. You can talk to us on Twitter. You can come to our GitHub. Our GitHub, I think, is especially neat because it's not just code samples. Every spec for every feature you saw here, it's on GitHub. If you want to go see what APIs we're building in the second half of this year, it's on GitHub. Everything we do is an open book. I want you to come, look at those specs, comment on them, make pull requests, tell us what we're doing right, and tell us what we're doing wrong, because we only build the platform because it helps you be successful. So the more you can help us tune that and build the right stuff, the more powerful we can be together. We're also on Stack Overflow. Got a ton of talks on Channel 9, but we're here all week, really excited to help you guys build awesome integrations on top of the platform, and thank you for taking the time to sort of explore what it means for Office 365 to be a platform this morning. Thanks.
Thank you, 谢谢。让我们再次感谢 Tristan Davis 给我们带来的精彩分享。